Shalom, this is Billy Broom and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And we have two gifts with us, Don and Beverly Davis, and they're from Kerrville, Texas. And they were associated for a long time with Reverend and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin. The one introduced to me by Kenneth E. Hagin, they're his dear friends in ministry. And I called them Papa and Mama Goodwin, but I think you, Joe Jordan, Ron, all of those that were in there, you called them Dad and Mom Goodwin. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking gifts of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. That are listed for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these gifts, they're divided into parts. And there are three of them that are particularly utterance gifts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That means they come up out of your mouth,
right,
from the Spirit of God through your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people say this, and they take it too from the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, and where God says that, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities, of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues. Now, some denominational people that I've talked to before, they say everyone doesn't have tongues. They don't have the right to tongues because it says so right here. Well, that's a different kind of tongues. The tongues that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and you have an evidence of speaking with tongues, that's prayer life tongues,
mm-hmm.
and that's your own personal tongues.
Right.
But then that's when we're talking to God. Any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God.
Right.
That's the way I tell the difference. Right. We speak to God. But there is another one when God speaks to us.
Right.
And when God speaks to us, we call that divers kinds of tongues,
right.
And that requires an interpretation because people in the church can't understand what God says if he says it in
yes.
divers tongues.
Right.
So then you need an interpretation. You have tongues and you have interpretation. That's the ministry gift of tongues,
right,
when God's ministering to the church. And then there's prophecy, which is in a known tongue. It's a supernatural revelation in a known tongue. But tongues and interpretation, divers kinds of tongues with interpretation, equals prophecy,
right,
because you have an interpretation come. Now, I know that Mama and Papa Goodwin were the best I've ever seen.
Right.
And, not that we say best, good, better, and best like that, but, more accurately get it from God.
Right.
It's always right when it comes from God, but it has to go through pipes.
Right.
He has to get it through us, through pipes to people. And I see the same thing on you, Beverly, that I saw on Mom Goodwin, and I know that that's because you were under her,
mm-hmm.
and you were, what was it like in a service at First Assembly Pasadena? What was a church service like?
Well, first of all, it wasn't a lot of the hype that we see today. It was pretty much, for a lot of people, I guess they would say it was like, everything church as usual. But for us, it was always different because every service was different. You never know when the Spirit of God was going to move or who it was going to move through. And a lot of
Did
those.
Did you always expect a move of the Spirit?
Oh, definitely.
Every time we walked
every
in the church,
time.
We wouldn't dare miss a service no. because God was going to do something very special.
Well, one thing, too, when you stepped up on the steps to go in that church, you examined your heart. You examined your life. And if you found anything that you felt needed correction, you repented right then. Because if you walked in and sat down, Mom would get up and say, and she'd read your mail that morning. And one Sunday morning, she got up. They had been to Atlanta to visit their son. And she got up that morning, and she'd always put that hand on that hip and do this finger like this. And you knew you were fixing to really get it. But you loved it because it kept you clean and mm-hmm. ready to meet Jesus.
And safe. It kept
and
things safe.
And safe. And it kept the church clean. And so she'd say, well, a little bird came and told me that while I was gone, and she related the conversation that she had heard. But I had heard the same conversation because the person had said it to me. And I was sitting back there thinking, oh, God, I didn't say a word. I didn't do one thing I just heard. I didn't do anything or comment or say anything.
You didn't tell Mama. You weren't.
No, I never told her because I hadn't seen her yet. It was Sunday morning. They had just come back from Atlanta. And so she related that whole conversation. Well, you've got us moved out of the parsonage. You've got it redecorated. I said, oh, Lord, help me. Well, they
because
came.
Somebody had said that to you.
Somebody had said that
they
to
said
me.
That Mom and Dad's time was up or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it was time for them to go, and they need to redecorate the parsonage and all that. And I said, Lord, I didn't enter into that conversation. I had nothing to do with it. But they came, and they confessed. You know, they'd say, now, if you'll just come to us, And we'll talk to you about it. If you need to come privately, you can come to our house. You park your car around behind the garage in the back where nobody can see your car out in front. And they'd come in, and Mom would say, now, don't you tell us who's involved. We'll tell you who's involved. And then Mom would relate who all was involved and what all they had said. Oh, then they never had to tell off on anybody, and then they could get the matter clean right then and stopped. It kept revival in that church all the years they were there. And Bob Summers said to us, how did they keep revival and that church clean all those years? It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit. We've really got to return to our roots of Pentecost.
You know, I want to interject if I can here. There's such a place for holiness
yes.
and purity.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes we do preach such a message that it's almost like, well, God's forgiven everything and, you know, you don't have to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But you do have to if you want power.
Exactly. Right.
The Holy Ghost is holy.
Yes, he
right.
is.
And I was at Mama's. You know how we used to go after she got up in years and we'd go over to her house there in Broken Arrow after Dad was already gone. Papa was gone. And a man and a woman came in who'd grown up in that church. They'd been teenagers in that church. And he just laughed. He said, if we did anything, we teenagers, if we did anything that week, I mean, we got that thing cleared under the blood before we went to church on Sunday morning. Because he said, Mama would stand up there in that pulpit and she'd say, my spirit went with you into that bar. And I saw this and this and this and this.
Right.
Now, if you want to make that right, you'll come up here now.
Right.
Or like that privately, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But he said she absolutely knew it.
Right.
And so he said that did a lot toward keeping us.
Yes.
And she taught the young people to keep their vessels.
Right.
Your body was your vessel.
Right.
And you were to keep that vessel before the Lord.
Yeah.
Because you're the vessel of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, there was no low-cut blouses and they're just... She dealt with things very quickly. But she didn't do it to be mean. She didn't try to hurt you. She was trying to make you a vessel not only of honor to be used of God, but she wanted to see you meet Jesus and go to heaven and have a life and a testimony that pleased God. She said that the young people would gather back in the back of the church and talk and visit. And she said, if I can go back there and stand where they've been standing, I'll know everything they were talking about. And it's true, she did. And she'd call you down real quick, but she could give you the best whipping you ever had in your life and make you love it. Because you felt, once you got it straight with God, you felt all clean and shiny like a new penny.
Yeah.
And you knew your life was going to please God. And you wanted to please God, because anything in the flesh... It's putrid. It's putrefying to God. So we have to keep our lives according to what God's word says, keep our vessels pure and clean so that we can be a vessel of honor.
Right, and the Holy Ghost can use you
right
to help others.
Yeah. I wanted to say that because we're talking about what kind of services we had, you know, we only had one piano and an organ, and we didn't have any drums, any guitars, or anything else. That was back in the day. And but we had a song service that was second to none. I mean, you could hear the people singing, and I mean, they were worshiping God. I've heard they were laughing. They were, and really and truly, it was amazing, because when we moved back into Pasadena, we were two doors down from the church. The parsonage was between our house and the church. And on the other side of us was a family that had a lot of boys and girls in the family. And we had laughing in our church before it was cool, and as the song goes, and before Toronto ever came along. We had a little lady. Her name was Ethel Holder. She was about 4'9", and she came to church all the time, came by herself, because I remember when her husband passed away, I knew all of their kids and everything. Mm-hmm. One of her boys married my mother's sister, and she would sit in the church, and when the Spirit of God would start moving, she would go, and I mean, and the whole church literally would fall out laughing. It was the most amazing thing.
Waves of it would come through.
And Mom,
waves of it.
I noticed Billy's got her handkerchief. Mom would go, and she'd hide her laugh because she didn't want to start anything.
Yeah.
Because once Ethel and Mom got to laughing, it was infectious. It would just permeate the whole place. And so we had laughing when laughing wasn't even cool. And so there were a lot of things that happened like that. We had a lady that had been Catholic. She got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she would say, Dad would be preaching, and he would stop, and he would just give a little pause, and she would stand, and she'd say, Sister King. And she would speak a little bit in tongues. And then all of a sudden she would say, 1 Corinthians 12:1-6. And everybody would scramble for their Bible, and it would absolutely dovetail into his message.
Beautiful messages.
And that went on for several years. Right. And Dad finally, after about a year, he said, Sister King, he said, how is it that you give those scriptures? And she said, I see it. When I pray, speak in tongues, it comes across as like a teleprompter. And I see the scripture up there on that teleprompter, and I give it. And the Holy Ghost gave us a first-class example of how the Spirit works. And everybody would grab their Bible and mark it down.
Now, that story is told in this book, A Tribute to Spiritual Growth, that Brother Joe Jordan did. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most amazing stories.
Yes. It is.
Because
it is.
That lady didn't even know where the books of the Bible were when she first started it. She'd come out of the Catholic Church and she hadn't read the Bible.
Right.
But she saw it, and that was a manifestation of one of the gifts of the Spirit. You can read about it. We have the book. You can get it online from us. But we're going to go on with this and what it's like to have a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your church and also in your life. Shalom.